Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 431, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Open, saith the Lord, with thy mouth believing this my covenant word, I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving. And what follows, Psalter 431, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Thank you. portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the prophet Zechariah and thereof chapter 13. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Zechariah 13. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, and neither shall he wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord, it is for the second time on this holy day of rest that we and our children are privileged, are permitted to come within the walls of thy house, and by renewal as a people, then we attempt to call upon thy most holy name. Then for another day, thy mercies have been multiplied. Then it is thy work to grant a broken and a humble heart under all thy common mercies. It is a privilege when we may be given to see thy common mercies as special mercies for an undeserving people. Wilt thou keep us from being overly discouraged under trials and troubles? Keep us from becoming rebellious under thy sore strokes, and to be given to ask that all thy ways, that they may be used by thy Holy Spirit for the salvation of our souls and for the glory of thy name. Then we have heard from the prophet of a fountain that has been opened for the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness. May it please thee in this evening hour, by thy Spirit, for the first time, but also by renewal, to make room for that fountain, for that need, for a vehement thirst. Lord, may it please thee in this evening hour, where thou hast wrought that thirst, may such souls also have come up, beggars at thy throne of grace, to receive something from thee, that their souls may be satisfied with thee, and with the riches of the covenant of grace, that they may be given to behold that fountain, that they may be given to drink thereof, that they may be filled with unspeakable joy. Oh, that fountain of blood, then we have heard it out of thy holy word, that the shepherd, thy dear son, was smitten, and to that end a fountain is flown from Mount Calvary, and based upon that meritorial work, then we have also heard of a special promise that thy hand shall be upon the little ones. May many little ones be born, and may those little ones be given to be instructed and led further in the mysteries of salvation. For thy child, it is so needful each time by renewal to be more deeply uncovered and to be led into the mysteries of salvation, the work of a triune God. Thy dear Son is the way to the Father by the application of the Holy Spirit. To that end, wilt thou grant that further instruction to give reason for fresh praise and rejoicing. Lord, thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. May in this evening also souls have come up, begging thee that they may be recruited under thy banner, with a desire to forsake the world and all the vanities thereof, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross. Ah, Lord, wilt thou then do it in this evening hour? Then it shall be an unforgettable service. Do bless thy holy word to that end. Bless thy word in the church. Help the consistory to that end. Bless thy word in the family circles. Do help fathers and mothers to that end. And so we commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. O, continue to uphold the persecuted church, so many different places and countries. Also on this Sabbath day, no freedom to come together to worship. We commend unto thee the Jewish nation, the beloved for the Father's sake. May under all the distressful circumstances, may they be given to call upon thy holy name, and that thou may instruct them that the Messiah has come. We commend unto thee all mission work, also our mission field, thy servant, the team, the father and mother. Wilt thou continue to help them with the learning of a foreign language? And if it may please thee, that thou may grant a man of thy choosing, whose heart may be inclined to labor among that people in Peru, where the voices come over and help us. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. We commend unto thee our poor country, where it continues on its downward spiral to destruction. Lord, have yet a little mercy, that the judgments may yet be stayed, because they must come when there is no repentance. May we and our children be given to see the signs of the time, and to earnestly beg of thee for a hiding place for our never-dying soul. We commend the countries where there is war, where there is turmoil, where there is hungry, where there is hunger, and what makes us and our children to differ. Remember the many temporal needs, Lord. Do remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, half-orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Do continue to uphold them. Wilt thou remember all the sick and afflicted, the handicapped daughter in the hospital. Remember all the handicapped ones. Wilt thou remember the crosses, the burdens. Remember those that struggle with difficulties and weakness of the mind. Grant them a place at thy footstool with the opening of thy holy word. We commend unto thee all those that struggle with addictions and temptations. Oh, do bless the family circles. We remember prodigal sons and daughters who have left us, who were seeking it elsewhere. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help, and may thy word go forth with power divine. Do go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, and from dwelling to dwelling, and may the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name, with an impression sent away undeserved, nothing to plead upon, but, O Lord, we have sung it together, where thou hast exhorted that we are called upon to open our mouth. May that be in the family circles, in the church, individual, that there may be those sighers and criers, and that thou may answer our poor petitions. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 115, the four stanzas. As pants the heart for streams of living water, as so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? And what follows, Psalter 115, the four stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 26, the question and answer 69 through 71. Question 69. How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Answer thus. That Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise that I am as certainly washed by his blood and spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. Question 70. What is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? Answer. It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely, for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. Question 71. Where has Christ promised us that he will as certainly wash us by his blood and spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism? Answer. In the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This promise is also repeated where the scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Lord's Day 26 speaks of the rich comfort in the sacrament of holy baptism, with three thoughts. In the first place, the divine institution by Christ. Secondly, the rich instruction by Christ. And in the third place, the benefits sealed by Christ. The rich comfort in the sacrament of holy baptism, the divine institution, the rich instruction, and the benefit sealed by Christ. Beloved congregation, Lord's Day number 25 was given to speak of the sacraments in general, of the sign and the seal, and now Lord's Day number 26, that is the application of Lord's Day number 25, referring that to the sacrament of holy baptism in our Heidelberg Catechism, and then there are six Lord's days devoted to the sacraments, and there is a special reason that is in the context of the history of the Church. Also in Lord's Day number 25, when we read the explanation, because Zacharias Ursinus has given an explanation of the Heidelberg Catechism, which he has composed together with Caspar Olivianus. And then in Lord's Day number 25, concerning the preaching of the gospel, a very short explanation, but much broader, concerning the sacraments. And the reason is because in the time of the Reformation, there was much misunderstanding and much confusion concerning the sacraments. The Council of Trent, that was an important synod of the Church of Rome. They have gathered together from the year 1545 to 1563, and not that they have continually gathered, but they have gathered in three sessions because of so many going to the Reformation, and then they were called upon to clarify what the Church of Rome confessed and believed. And then they have erred greatly in many points, and especially concerning the sacraments. And then the Roman Catholic Church, they have stated that in addition to the sacraments of holy baptism and the Holy Supper, that there are five more. And then they have also given interpretations concerning the sacrament of holy baptism and the Lord's Supper that were not according to God's holy word. And you can remember that Frederick III, that he was concerned, oh, a very godly man, what a privilege and what a blessing for a country when the Lord grants a man with a tender fear of the Lord, and not only concerned about their temporal welfare, but above all their spiritual warfare. And then we know in the time of the Reformation that there were also different thoughts among the reformers, and to that end, Frederick III is asked that the Heidelberg Catechism would be formulated. Then in the last Lord's Day, then we have heard, according to the Scriptures, that there are only two sacraments. There were two sacraments in the Old Testament, although different theologians, they have spoken of sacraments, they have mentioned the Tree of Life and the rainbow, and it is true they were signs and seals, but they do not fit the description of the sacraments, because the true sacraments, they pointed to the offering of Christ on the cross of Calvary and the shedding of his blood. And now in the Old Testament, then we read in Genesis 17 of the sacrament of circumcision commanded to Abram and his seed, and in Exodus 12, the sacrament of the Passover, which was instituted in the night, that the children of Israel would be delivered out of the house of bondage. In the Old Testament, then the sacraments, they were bloody. In the New Testament, not. In the Old Testament, they pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ who would come. And in the New Testament, to Christ who has come and who has finished his meritorial work in the state of his humiliation and in the state of his exaltation, he granteth the application. And now concerning the institution, we find it in question and answer 71. Then Christ has instituted the sacrament of holy baptism after he has cried out, it is finished, was buried, and was risen as king. And then before he ascended into heaven, then he is instituted, as we read in Matthew 28, verse 19, the sacrament of baptism. For the Jewish nation, then water and washing, that was not an uncommon, that was not a strange thing concerning the worship of the Lord. Then children, at least older children, then you know that in the courtyard, when we come through the door, through the gate, there was the brazen altar of burnt offerings, and then between that altar and the tabernacle, what do we find? That was the brazen laver for washing. It contained water, and to that end, we have many references that if we think when Aaron and his sons, when they were ordained to that holy office, then they were washed. On the Day of Atonement, we read of washing. Leviticus 14, when a leper was healed, or when by the priest he was pronounced that he was not a leprous, then he needed to be washed. He needed to be sprinkled with blood, and the sacrifice needed to be brought. And history tells us that in the Old Testament that there was also baptism of proselytes. They were people, boys and girls, that have come out of the heathen nations and that had a desire to join themselves to that blessed people of Israel. And then for such a people to join, then the males needed to be circumcised, but they also needed to be baptized, that they needed to be washed. Thus for the Jewish people, then it was not a completely strange matter. But now a time has come that John the Baptist, that he came by the River Jordan, and that he began to preach, and his preaching was very strict. Oh, then he has used very strong language. Then he has told them that it was not enough to be children of Abram. Oh, in Matthew 3, verse 10, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And then he has preached the baptism of repentance unto the remission of sins. Thus, that was a solemn and a shocking message for the Jewish people, that heathens, those that were outside, that they needed to be baptized. That was understandable. But for church-going people that always were in church and that obeyed the ceremonial laws, and now to receive the message that they needed to be baptized unto repentance for the remission of sins, that was a shocking message for that people. Has that also taken place in our life? Faithful churchgoers, this to be commended. This commanded, there's a calling to refrain from going into the world, not to give offense, read our Bibles, pray continually, not as bad as the world. And have we now heard that message? Has it come close to home? Has it entered our heart that with all our blessings and with all our privileges, that I am a black, filthy sinner on account of all my transgressions, and that I need to be washed? And if I am not washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I am forever undone. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, have you asked in this evening hour that the King may recruit you as a soldier under his banner? Have you told the Lord, are you willing to give up the world's sinful things and sinful pleasures? Have you counted the cost? Have you begged, Lord, wilt thou now recruit me in this evening hour? Work lovingly in my heart by thy Holy Spirit. We hope to hear about the sacrament of holy baptism. I am also a God-bearer. I carry the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But Lord, that is too short. I need to be converted as thou converteth all thy people. And my time is short. I am hastening to eternity. Ah, Lord, may it please thee in this evening hour to work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit for thy Jewish people, the preaching of John the Baptist. That was a shocking message, but they have come, and then it is clear in the scriptures that in essence, that there is no difference between the baptism of John the Baptist and the baptism of Jesus Christ. We even read in John 4, the first two verses, that both John the Baptist and the disciples of Christ, that they have baptized. But now it has been instituted fully as a sacrament upon the finished work, upon those words, it is finished before Christ ascended into heaven. Concerning the word sacrament, that word we cannot find in the Bible. But the meaning is clear. That word sacrament comes from the word sacramentum. And in the Roman world, it referred to a military oath. When one bound themselves to a prince, and pledge their service. And in the Greek world, then it was connected to religious feasts when one would consecrate themselves to that end. And now we read in this Lord's Day, how art thou? Thus it is a personal question. How art thou admonished? And that word admonished in the time of the Heidelberg Catechism had a different connotation than it does today. That word admonished, that means to be profoundly instructed. How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Does not say advantage, but it says real advantage. Oh, we hope to hear in the coming Lord's Day the blessing to be under the external administration of the covenant. That is a great advantage. That is a great privilege, a great responsibility. But the instructors have added that word real. Real advantage. And that is advantage when we think of Lord's Day number one. What is thy only comfort in life and death, that I with body and soul? Thus real advantage, that is advantage here for the time. That is advantage and blessing for eternity. That is a blessing for body and for soul. Our second thought, the rich instruction by Christ. We have heard in the explanation what a sacrament is from the last Lord's Day, that there is a sign and that there is also a seal. And now a sign is something that represents, that typifies, that instructs, and that points to something. Same boys and girls, a sign on a road concerning a certain city that tells where the city is. And now in the sacrament of holy baptism, then Christ has instituted the same with a very simple sign. And for our denomination to accept the baptism outside of our denomination, then three matters are necessary: that such a one is baptized by water, that such a one is baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and that such a one is baptized by a male office bearer. To give an example to that end, we do not accept the baptism of the Mormon Church. And now Christ has given a very simple and a very meaningful sign. That is water, plentiful upon the earth. About 2/3 of the earth is covered with water. And our children understand it. Without water, there is no life. Without water, we must perish. Oh, we have the examples in the Bible. Genesis 16 of a Hagar, later with Ishmael. by that well. We think of the children of Israel, that they have murmured, and that the rock was smitten. Then the properties of water, they are manifold. And in the sacrament of holy baptism, then it points especially to the cleansing properties of water. That is what we use, boys and girls, to wash ourselves. Of course, it can be broadened out. Water refreshes, water revives, and water softens. But it is especially in the sacrament of holy baptism, the cleansing properties of water, and now the water, the sign that points to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that blood with its cleansing power. We have heard from the prophet that the prophet was given to declare, and in that day shall a fountain be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Oh, are there poor and needy sinners in my midst? Have there come up to God's house thirsting for that cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Ah, that shall be when we more and more experience our blackness. That is for a people that have attempted so hard to cleanse themselves, all by many ways, by their repentance and their works, and then to discover more and more, still a black and a filthy sinner, Lord. Is there then a way? And now we have heard it. Christ has instituted the sacraments for the strengthening of the faith of his people. And now Christ has not only given the word for our ears, but he has also given the sacraments that we may see it with our eyes. Does not give approval of images and all other things in the worship service. Must all be a warrant in God's word. But now Christ has instituted the sacraments to be administered in the midst of the congregation. And what a precious sign it is. It is a sign of love, a sign of life. And now we have heard it out of Zechariah 13 of that fountain, and a fountain that is for public use, and a fountain continues to flow. Also in the year of 2025, and what precious invitations are written over that fountain. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. And Christ has never turned a poor, undone sinner away. I read in John 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And now to drink of that fountain, then saving faith is indispensable, which the Spirit grants to his child. Then by faith to drink of those living waters, and now Christ, that fountain, that blood, has given the sacrament of holy baptism, the water, that when it may be granted to the living child of God, by an eye of faith when the sacrament is administered, to look further, to look higher, to look upon the precious blood of Christ. Oh, then in the sign, then it is declared what I read in John 1 verse 29, behold, the Lamb of God. How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism? We actually have all three points. In question and answer 69, and they are further explained in question and answer 70 and 71. How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Answer, thus, that Christ appointed, this, there we have the institution, this external washing with water, there we have the sign, adding there to this promise, there we have the seal that I am as certainly washed in his blood and spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins. Do you hear, congregation, how the instructors have expressed the need for that precious blood? Then they did not speak only of their outward sins, some outward transformation, reformation, but the instructors have said the pollution of my soul. And that is now the work of the Holy Spirit, not only to uncover to our actual sins, they are great in thought, word, and deed, but also to uncover us to our existence. It is a privilege and a blessing when the Lord keeps us from bringing reproach upon the holy gospel of Jesus Christ. But now the Spirit, with that deeper uncovering, we read in Ezekiel 8, dig deeper, Son of Man, and thou shalt find greater abomination, that for the uncovered sinner, impossible from their side, they do not only do sin, but they are nothing but sin. And therefore the instructors have mentioned the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins. Then we read that word all two times. And that is now encouragement for poor and needy sinners. Because when we become a great sinner, then the question can arise, how we can know it so well with our mind, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. But when we become a great sinner, the chief of sinners, then the question can arise, is it now possible, and is the Lord now willing to cleanse a sinner such as I? But the instructors have stated that when the Spirit may use the sacrament, when they may see the sign, when they may see the water, that they may be given to believe that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. Let us sing of Psalter 304, the first four stanzas. Oh, give the Lord wholehearted praise. To him thanksgiving I will bring. With all his people I will raise my voice and of his glory sing. And what follows? Psalter 304, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
which comfort in the sacrament of holy baptism, the divine institution, the rich instruction, and thirdly, the benefit sealed by Christ, admonished and assured. We have heard it from the explanation of Lord's Day 24. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals. And now a seal that is to confirm, to ensure, but also to separate, to make it plain for the children. When Joseph has sent his brothers to Father Jacob with that rich message, Joseph is still alive and governor of all the land of Egypt. Then what has Joseph sent along? Then he has sent those wagons. And then we read in the scriptures that for Jacob, the message was too great to believe. But when he saw those provided wagons with provision, and then he was given to believe. And then a seal, and that also confirms. When there is gold, then a stamp is placed upon the gold to tell the purity of that gold. No, the stamp does not make it gold, but it confirms it. We could also, boys and girls, use the example of a letter. We have the example in the book of Esther. In Esther 3, Haman, the enemy of Mordecai and the Jewish people, and then a solemn letter was written. And then the king has given his ring, and boys and girls, that ring of the king that had a seal on it. And then at the bottom of that letter, then Haman has pressed that seal upon the letter to tell the people who would read it that it came from the great king Ahasuerus, the governor of the reign of the Medes and Persians with 127 provinces. And then we read that those posts, that they were hasted to bring that message to the Jewish people, that on the 13th day of the 12th month, that young and old, every child, every woman of the Jewish people, and of course, that would include all the boys and men, that the enemy had opportunity that they would arise against the Jewish nation, and that they would all be put to death. Oh, then we read, when that people have read that letter, and some have seen that seal, that it confirmed that it came from the mighty king, then they have all wept, they have mourned, they have cried unto the Lord, because they all lie under the sentence of death, the little children, the unborn. But we do read of another letter. Then we read, the Lord grant such Esthers amongst us. Esther, then that golden scepter was reached out to her. She may live. She was saved. But that letter with that seal that was still in effect, and we read that the law of the Medes and Persians, that it can never be changed. And then what precious things that we read of Esther, such a royal and such an enlarged heart, that by renewal she came before the king. The golden scepter was stretched out to her, and then she has said, O king, how can I endure to see all the evil come upon my people and the destruction of my kindred? Oh, people of God, may we be given to resemble an Esther more with that enlarged heart, troubled with the lot of the souls of the unconverted. And then the king has given permission also to Mordecai. He would dictate it to the scribes that another letter, another law may be made. Law may never be annulled, the other one, but that the Jews would have opportunity to defend themselves, and then by renewal, then that king's seal was pressed upon that letter, and then by renewal the post, they were hastened, because that Jewish people, there was an unbearable and great need, because that people all lie under the sentence of death. And then the post were hastened, and then the letter has come, and then there was happiness and rejoicing, because there was a possibility of deliverance. Oh, what a clear proclamation of law and gospel. And now, the seal of the sacrament, then it seals, confirms, grants assurance, the strengthening of their most holy faith to the child of God. And now our instructors, they speak of two special benefits which Christ has merited for his child, that is typified, but also confirmed and assured in the administration of the sacrament of holy baptism. And then the instructors are given to speak in answer number 70. It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely, for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by the sacrifice upon the cross. When we read Lord's Day 25 and 26, then five times in Lord's Day 25, three times, and in Lord's Day 26, two times, then it speaks of the cross of Jesus Christ. Then we have seen so often in our Heidelberg Catechism that the instructors are given to point poor and needy souls as the only way to be saved, and that is through the cross of Jesus Christ. And now we read of two benefits. The Lord Jesus Christ, he has hung and died on the cross. And then when the soldiers were sent, then they have broke the legs of the malefactor on the right, on the left. But when they saw that Christ had died, then a soldier was given with a spear to thrust the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, and out of that side came blood and water. And in that blood and water, their lives declared the two benefits that are symbolized and typified in the sacrament of holy baptism. And they must be distinguished, but they can never be separated. And now the first, that is justification by the blood of Christ. That is for a poor sinner to receive the pardoning of sin and to embrace it by the hand of saving faith, to be given to belief that as water washes the filth from our body, so the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses my filthy soul and body from all my sins, that I may come before the Lord without spot and blemish. That is the first benefit that is sealed in the sacrament of holy baptism. But then the second, and that separates the precious from the vile, because the true child of God, they need and desire the precious Savior in all his three offices, and not only as prophet to be taught concerning the priestly office, but they have made that good choice. They have freely placed themselves, they have become volunteers, and they place themselves as a soldier under the banner of Jesus Christ. Oh, we read in Psalm 60, verse 4, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. And now that people, they have chosen him as their king with a desire to walk in his ways. And then the instructors, they have written profound things. And also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ. And then the following words, child of God, how is it with those words? It's a solemn examination. That so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. How is a child of God? And how is that now experienced? Thus then a child of God become a Pharisee. In that experience, to do less sin and to become a more vile sinner. Romans 7. That is a blessed place for the living child of God. And then continually, each time by renewal, how necessary, how precious Jesus Christ is and becomes, that he is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s. The riches of the sacrament of holy baptism. The advantage, the real advantage. There's a privilege and a blessing when the Lord grants unto his child insight, light, and exercises concerning the riches of the sacrament. Also a blessing and a privilege when we may be exercised with our own baptism. The Lord was the first in eternity. Council of Peace was the first when we were small, was the first in the moment of regeneration. It is also a blessing and a privilege when the Lord grants special and particular exercises with the baptism of individual souls that are near and dear unto us, that we are bound at the throne of grace and with the hope for such souls. And when that takes place, people, then we shall know it, shall not be forgotten. And then there shall be a pleading to the God of the covenant that he may work from generation to generation. I read in Psalm 72 verse 5, and we shall close with that text, because maybe, boys and girls, you have seen it. It was full moon again. That is a preaching. And I read in Psalm 72 verse 5, and they shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. Amen. Lord, may it please thee by thy Spirit to instruct us in the things of the Lord, also concerning the sacrament of holy baptism. We may thank thee for another Lord's Day, that we may come up to thy house, some words to speak. Wilt thou be the after preacher? Wilt thou graciously watch over us in this week? Remember the mothers at home with the children, and Lord, do graciously watch over the mothers with the unborn. Remember on the way. Remember at work, wherever we are called to be. Oh, do keep us under thy kind care, thy good protection. Keep us from an unexpected, but above all from an unreconciled death. Keep us from sin and temptation. May it please thee to keep us from great storms of destruction. Provide for our daily bread. Help the farmers harvest their crop. Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another? Bring us together in this week for a weekday service. Return us now safely to our dwellings and watch over us in this night. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 446, the stanzas 2 and 4. If thou shouldest mark transgression, O Lord, who then could stand? For evil and oppression are found on every hand. And what follows? 446, 2 and 4. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.